Well, good morning, East Valley Church. If you weren't awake when you come in, hopefully you are now, right? That was beautiful. Thank you to our worship team for leading us this morning in worship and even introducing a new song that's just beautiful. Our God is good. Our God is faithful. And thanks for allowing us to really stop and think about that and worship Him this morning. Well, this morning we are blessed to be able to take the Lord's Supper and celebrate communion, remember Jesus in a very special way that we do on the first Sunday of every month. And before we do that, we're going to kind of have an abbreviated message this morning that really wraps up what has been 3 weeks now on a little mini series, you could say, that we've been going through that we've called Being Generous Toward God. And each week that we've done this, I've kind of expressed that there are a host of different ways that we can be generous toward God, right? We can be generous toward God, for example, with how we use our time and time that we devote toward Him. And so as I talk about being generous toward God, I simply want to point out that my focus during this little mini series has been on how we can be generous toward God with the resources that God has entrusted to us, especially physical resources such as what we do with the money that God gives to us, right? If you're here today for the first time in a while, or maybe have missed one or two of the first messages that I did, I just want to say this is not a church that talks nonstop about money, right? There are some of them out there. That's not us. And at the same time, we don't apologize for talking about something that God speaks about often in His Word, right? And in the first week, we looked at how often Jesus spoke of stewardship or what we do with what He's entrusted to us. It's a common theme in Jesus' teaching. And so it should be when any church or a pastor stands up here and says, I want to declare or speak God's word to the people. Well, we could start with what God has said to us, right? And that's what we try to do each week. But our focus has been on what we do with our physical resources, the money that God's entrusted to us especially. And I've said that there are some principles in Scripture that are very helpful for us to keep in mind. If we are ever going to take a step in our spiritual journey, in our walk with Jesus, where He's really in control of every aspect of our life, everything's laid down to Him, including the grip that we often have on our checkbook, there are some guiding principles to keep in mind. And so let me share those with you. And this is going to be a quick review of what we hit the first week, but there were four bullet points that I gave you. First one is this: everything that we have comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. There's a verse in the book of James, James 1:17, if you're familiar with it. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, ultimately. Everything that we have came to us by way of the grace of God, and we want to keep that in mind. Do we work hard? Do we need to be responsible? Yes, all of those things. But we said in week one, how many of us have ever had a back that was thrown out and you couldn't even make it to work if your life was dependent on you? Or your mind has been so, what's the word that I'm looking for? Just preoccupied on something that apart from the peace of God and an ability to get some sleep and to think clearly, you wouldn't even be able to perform the things that you do at your job, right? I talked to somebody this morning who literally said, thankful that God woke me up this morning, and every day that He wakes me up is a blessing and an opportunity to serve Him. That is so incredibly true. Everything that we have comes from God and by the grace of God. Second, God owns everything. God ultimately is the owner of everything, even the things that you and I say are ours or mine. Not only does He own everything, but third, He's in control of everything. Sometimes when we're struggling to be generous toward God with our finances and our resources, it helps us to remember that even when things are feeling out of control, God is in control. And that God has called us at certain times in our life to act upon faith and what he's called us to do finally. And we'll touch on this one a little bit more today because it's so important. God provides everything. We're reminded that God has said he would meet our needs, whatever our needs are. And you've all heard the little saying, right, that he's promised to meet our needs, not our greeds necessarily, right? Sometimes he even is so kind and blesses us, we're able to, everybody in this room probably has some things they don't need, right? I saw my first car that I ever owned drive down the street in San Jose, downtown San Jose this past week, and think, man, I would love to have that car again, but I don't need it. That would just be a greed, right? Or a you guys have heard that story before, but my 68 Cougar. Anyways, I'm getting off track here. God provides everything that we what? That we need. Last week, I then gave you a little statement in the second part of this series that I believe to be really helpful as we think about our finances and how God would have us be generous toward him. And even more importantly than it being helpful, I think it's a biblical, concise little statement about how God would have us steward the money he's entrusted to us. And it said this, by the way, I'm sorry I don't have, like I did last week, some of this on overhead for you. It was a rough week for me with having the flu, which is unfortunate, but I'm feeling much better this morning. So I've been a little bit behind this week. But here's the statement I shared with you last week. God in his word calls you to make giving to him and his work a priority. He calls you to make giving to him and his work a priority and to do so in a manner that is proportionate to your ability, yet also generous, sacrificial, and voluntary. Reading it one more time for anybody who might be trying to scribble it down. God in his word calls you to make giving to him and his work a priority and to do so in a manner that is proportionate to your ability, yet also generous, sacrificial, and voluntary. We saw that believers in the early church surely made it a priority to give to the Lord's work, and they did so on the first day of the week. We looked at that last week. They did it not just once, but it was something they were engaged in doing on a regular basis. And I challenged each of us to ask ourselves whether or not we sincerely make giving to God's work a priority. And if we follow the biblical principle of giving to him from our first and our best, and we talked about this word that we see pop up in scripture, giving of our first fruit, right? And you've got the idea of someone who is a farmer or reaps a harvest, and then out of the very best is what they give to God. Not only should our giving be a priority, and should it happen regularly, but it should also be, as we've said, proportionate to our ability. Proportionate to our ability. And because each of us is different, and each of us receives a different amount of income by the grace of God, however it is that our bills get paid, the amount that you give to God and his work may look different than the amount that the person sitting next to you in that chair might be giving. And guess what? That's okay. That's okay. But one of the questions we all need to consider is what I'm giving to God and his work truly generous? Is it generous for you? And each of us should do the best that we can to try to keep in mind, when I consider what God has done for me, how can the gift that I give reflect my generosity back toward God and all that he's done for me? As the pastor of our church here, I've made a choice not to look at who donates what to this church. But even if I did peek, and by the way, some some pastors, some churches do. They know who gives and who gives what. And they would say things like this: well, what nonprofit doesn't know who the key donors are in the whole place? I don't take that approach, but I can get at times why. Because in some ways, as we've already said, what we do with our resources says something about where our heart is, right? But if we could even look at that, if I chose to look at it, do you know what it wouldn't tell me? The dollar amounts that I would see next to people's names would not necessarily tell me who was being generous toward God. It wouldn't. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. I want you to listen to what Paul writes. Remember last week I encouraged you to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which speak very much about giving in this New Testament picture, I think, that we see of how God would have us be generous toward him. And Paul writes this, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 3. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. And he says, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in, guess what? A wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means. And then we're going to pick up, and if you're looking at it in the Bible, you're already going to see he says something else, but I'm not going to go there just yet. We'll come back to it. I want you to just hear he says, they gave according to their means. You see, according to Paul, what these believers gave flowed directly out of what they had to give. And at the end of the day, some of the most generous givers in churches all across America are people who give not necessarily the largest dollar amount to God, but instead those who give open-handedly, we could say, with a generous heart, out of whatever God has blessed them with. And when they do that, when we give to God like that, God is honored. A question for us to ask this morning is, how generous am I toward God? How generous am I toward God and his work when it comes to giving, when it comes to what I do with what I have? Am I really given according to my means? There's no report in the church that can be run. No spreadsheet we can print at the end of the day or at the end of the year, even though everybody gives a statement that gives, and you know, we know that you're given something and we know who's given it and we give you it back for tax purposes and whatnot, but there is no statement that could be given that would allow us to look and see how generous we or anyone else in the church has been in giving to God. But we've all got to ask ourselves, are we being generous? Are we being giving in a way that's really proportionate to our ability? And we talked about last week how it is a lie to think to ourselves, as soon as I have more, then I'll what? Give more. That is honestly not something that usually happens. By the way, if you're blessed to be raising young people, try to raise them up to show them how to give. I can remember, I'm just going to say this to you all, I can remember doing that well and a lot with the kids when they were little, and then maybe not talking about it as much a little bit later on and say, hey, we need to talk a little bit more about that and be sure that we have this in our mind that what's been given to us comes from God. It belongs to him. He's allowed us to be stewards of us. And some of it we need to spend. It would be wise to save some, but we've also got to make a priority what we give to God and his work. As people, we can be inclined to be impressed with numbers. Can't help but imagine that numbers probably don't impress God very much, right? Especially when everything belongs to Him ultimately, right? Not impressed by inflated numbers but looks at our hearts, and are we being generous toward Him? God's assessment is all that matters. God's assessment is all that matters, not mine. I'm not up here in the past few weeks to pressure people or twist any arms into giving more. I won't know if you give more or less. I've been a pastor long enough where I've seen people at times even attempt to impress or influence me by what they give. I've had people, instead of dropping something in the offering plate that was a significant donation, walk up and put it in my hand. And I can remember telling that person, you know what? Every week we've got an offering plate that goes around. Just go ahead and drop that in the offering plate. I told that to a gentleman one week, and the problem was I didn't even know what it was until I opened. You know, I'm just thinking it's a card or it's an envelope or something. Well, it was a gift to the church somehow. Oh, give it to the pastor so the pastor can see what you give. Well, okay, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't really mean it that way, right? So explain to him how to put it in the offering. I think it was Easter that rolled around. And our worship leader comes up to me and says, hey, this guy just came and gave a check to the church to me. I said, wait, hold on. I told him, you know, but he's wanting what he gave to be seen. Had somebody announce they were leaving the church at a time and remind us of how generous they've given, when I wouldn't tell him that we would remove someone from teaching in our children's ministry because they had a tattoo. And they wanted to remind me of what they've given to the church. And if they were going to invest here, you know, what they would need to see and know. Hey, all trying to influence or impress through money. I've never really been that impressed with money. And thank God that hasn't been people here, but just to put that out there. So don't ever worry about trying to impress me that way. But the temptation for us to do that can be there if we don't see that it's God's assessment of what we're giving that matters, not the pastor's, not anybody else's. It's God's. Sadly, the people that I'm referring to failed to see that whether or not I was impressed with what they gave, all that matters is what God thinks. Truly wrapping our minds around how God would have us give might be more easily comprehended than actually practiced. But we should always strive to remember this, that God has our back. When we step out in faith and we give generously toward Him, He's looking out for us. In those times when we're afraid to be generous toward God and want to hold on to too much, maybe, of what He's entrusted to us, we do well to find comfort in knowing that God will provide exactly what we need when we need it. And He has ways of pouring out His blessing and rewarding our faithfulness that still amaze me at times. Consider what the Word of God says about this in Proverbs chapter 11. This is from verses 24 through 29. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. The Word of God says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. I'm going to read that again. Let this sink in for a moment. This is a little pearl of wisdom from God tucked away in the Proverbs. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Wait a minute, God. You're saying that when I am willing to let go of what I've got, you've got ways of giving back or prospering me. And I go, that doesn't make sense to folks, but that's what God tells us. Another, on the other hand, withholds what he should give. We have the temptation to think if we just keep more, if we just save more, then we're going to have more. But then what does the proverb say? That one who withholds what he should give suffers want. Verse 25 goes on to say, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. In Luke 6, 37 through 38, the Word of God speaks of to what extent or what measure or how God will do this. Listen to what the Word says. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then listen to what he says in verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you by God. Saying, how does God give? How does he give? Look at what it says. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. God is giving to you now in a way that's proportionate to how you're giving toward him. And he won't just sprinkle a little. He is able to give generously. And I want to just say this. You guys know that I'm not a prosperity, health and wealth. Somebody says blab it and grab it type of preacher, right? That's not me. As we talk about this, I'm just saying God has ways of blessing. And sometimes that is financially. Sometimes it could be, and we don't even realize it. I've lived in places in my life where my rent was significantly less than it could have been. And for whatever reason, by the grace of God, my landlords never raised our rent. If they had just brought it up to what was comparable to the area, I couldn't have afforded to live there. And it's not that God was writing me a check, you know, or something like that, but I know God was in all of that, and he gave us favor with the people that we lived with. That's just an example of how it doesn't always mean he's going to give or do this in a way that amounts to dollars in our hand, per se. But he has ways of meeting our need. Maybe we're even overlooking some of those ways in our life right now, or they've become so normal to us that we've forgotten that it's a part of God's goodness toward us, and he wants to give generously. And I love this picture of good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It reminds me, and I was thinking about this last night, if I could try to think of an example of this. A couple weeks ago, there was free frozen yogurt day. And so I went to Yogurtland, ran into David Ames. I see David, put a hand up, brother. I see that. We were there to get frozen yogurt, and you get to the door and they say, you've got a 5-ounce cup or whatever it is, right? So, okay, you've got to get your free yogurt into this cup, right? So we get up there, and sure enough, I'm like trying to move the cup so it's like getting the, you know, the maximum amount, right? And then once it gets to right about where I think it's at the top, guess what I did with the cup? Put a little bit more, right? I thought of that as I was looking, and I tell you what, I mean, I could figure out how to maximize what was going into that cup and trying to honor their rule of not going over the 5 ounces. But I just thought to me, if I can do that and try to maximize what I put in a little cup of frozen yogurt, how much more can our God, who owns absolutely everything, honor his people who give generously toward him and be sure that all of our needs are met? Not only does God want you to make giving a priority and for you to do so in a manner that's proportionate to your ability, yet generous, he also expects us to give sacrificially and voluntarily. Those are the last two things I'm going to mention briefly. This isn't going to come as a shock to anyone here, but giving sacrificially actually involves giving up something that we value. Something that we value or would like to keep. You all know that I've worked at the Bay Area Rescue Mission in the past, and a good friend of mine directed the whole warehouse there, and donations came into the warehouse, and many beautiful or wonderful things were donated by the grace of God. But you know what a lot of times would come in? Junk. And it was as if sometimes people would go, well, I want to get rid of that, and don't necessarily want to rent a garbage bin to put it in or anything. I know, let me donate it. No one here has ever done anything like that. I know, right? So you get where I'm going with this? Getting rid of something maybe that wasn't really a value to us. And can you imagine us giving a gift to God that didn't cost us something? That wasn't a sacrifice. After all that he's done for us, and we're about, I mean, how did he give to us sacrificially? We're about to remember that in a minute. He gave us his one and only Son. I love you all, but none of you get my Son. Except maybe to pull weeds every once in a while if you need help or something, but to give away his one-of-a-kind Son. That's love. That is sacrifice. That's of significant value. What a gift. God wants us to give to him in a way that is sacrificial. It's something of value. It costs us something. I can remember David at one point saying that he didn't want to give to God that which cost him nothing. I encourage you to remember this morning that everything you have, that includes what you earn each month, whether big or small, ultimately comes from God. It belongs to him. What type of steward are you being of his resources? It's really interesting because I just read to you moments ago about how Paul commends the Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians 8 for their giving. And he explains that in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. And listen to what he says. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify. And then he says something that kind of shocks us. He says, and beyond their means. Then he adds this little qualifying statement, of their own accord. It was voluntary. It was a reflection of their heart. And he says, they gave according to their means. And then he goes, and they gave beyond their means. You say, how can you give beyond your means? And how does that not become unwise? I don't know that I have the answer to all of that. I just know that God is big. And I know that when we give in a way that honors him, he's not going to let us be forsaken. I believe I may have read the very first week, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, never abandoned in the floodlands. God has a way of taking care of his people as we invest in him, as we invest in his work, as we trust in him to provide. By God's design, these believers are actually set forth in Scripture as an example to you and I. And it's not just in this passage. I'm going to read to you from another one in a moment, but they're commended for giving beyond their means. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, Jesus speaks of a woman who gave this way. And you guys may remember this account. And she gave voluntarily, and this was her act of worship to God. It wasn't because someone was twisting her arm. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, the Word of God tells us that Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and he watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, large amounts, right? And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him. And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." I'm blown away by that. What a generous gift. I've never given to God, I don't think, that way. Not where I've given everything that I had. And she's commended not necessarily because it was a sizable gift, right? The other ones were dropping in bigger numbers. And by the way, the way that the church functions, praise God for everything that is being contributed by everyone. It's needed. But what Jesus is doing is saying he can look beyond the dollar amount and see the heart in this woman. That was a seriously sacrificial gift given beyond her means that honored God. Honestly, when I read this, it shows me how many times or how I cannot think like Jesus at times. I can't imagine myself responding the way that he did. I can't. By that I mean I'd want to say, "Little lady, hang on to that money. That's all that you've got. Our God's got plenty of resources, and there are a whole lot of other folks with much more that can make up for it. You really need that." But Jesus didn't say that. Out of her poverty, she put in everything that she had, all that she had to live on. I want to say this, that's the only little snapshot that God gave us in Scripture about this woman. But I don't doubt for a moment that God had her back and that her needs were met. I know that. Can you imagine God to commend her for giving all that she had and then abandon her? No way. Our God is good, we just sang this morning. Good. So good. Finally, and I've alluded to it already, we're to give voluntarily. Again, these same believers in chapter 8, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I'm making up books now. Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. They gave of their own accord. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." Such an amazing word. Listen to these little statements. Give as you've decided in your heart. That means you've thought it through. You've counted the cost. You've decided what I can give that would be generous toward God. And you've given it. And you've given it not because the pastor or someone else was watching. But you've given it because you've decided it in your heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. And then here's the final test right here. You've given it cheerfully. You've given it cheerfully. This may or may not happen right away. I would hope that it would, as God does a work in our hearts. I say that just to say, don't read this and think, well, if I can't give it cheerfully, I'm not going to give it. If I'm not really feeling like loving my wife this morning, I'm just not going to do it at all, right? No, God's called me to love her. God's called me to love you and you to love me. So many times we're called to do things beyond what we may feel like doing at the moment. Those are often the easiest things to do. And as God does a work in our heart, he can bring what we may not be desiring at the time. He can bring that into alignment with obeying him and then us beginning to find joy in that obedience. Because we begin to love the things that God loves when maybe earlier on in our life we're struggling with that. Give cheerfully, but don't use a lack of cheer as an excuse not to give. Does that make sense? Finally, God's promise to us. I want to read to you from Philippians 4, verses 15 through 19. And you, Philippians yourselves, know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. God bless them for giving to him and to the ministry of his word. And Paul's saying, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. And then he says, I've received full payment and more. He says, I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And then he describes them, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And then he says in verse 19, to those who have given sacrificially, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, as you make giving generously and sacrificially to God a priority, and you do it in a manner that's proportionate to your ability, yet also sacrificial and voluntary, God will give you increase in proportion, as we just read in that verse, to his resources. When we give toward God, he can give back to us out of what belongs to him. If I went to my daughters right now for a loan, I couldn't get much from them. Anything they do have, they want to spend, if we go to Safeway, the dollar store or whatever, whether it's mints or gum or just the money burns a hole in their pocket, right? If I was looking to them to compensate me, to bear back to me for what I do toward them, I'd be in trouble. But when we give to God, He gives back to us out of his infinite resources. And I believe in the first week, I said this to you, and I want to just end our little series with this picture in your mind and encourage you to remember that as you shovel it out, God shovels it back in, and his shovel is a lot bigger than yours is. I want to invite our worship team to come back to the stage. I want to invite those who will be helping us remember the Lord's Supper this morning to prepare to come to distribute those elements. And as we continue this morning, let's keep our mind upon how incredibly good God has been to us. We're going to continue to celebrate that. Well, on the first Sunday of every month at East Valley Church, we take communion. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. And really at the heart of that is remembering Jesus. Jesus is the one who told us to do this, to remember him, to remember what he accomplished for us on the cross. And God's given us some beautiful, basic little word pictures for us to hold on to here. In a moment, we'll be distributing a little piece of bread. And that piece of bread reminds us that Jesus, who the Word of God tells us is the Son of God and the second person of the Godhead who's existed from all eternity, was willing to step out of the heavens, as it were, and to descend, to come and to be born as a man, to take on a human body, to experience all that you and I experience, to be tempted, to go through difficulty. Because he's done that, he's able to be a merciful high priest to us. He's able to understand what we experience. The very worst day that you have, Jesus can say, I've been there. I understand. And we remember him coming in that body and taking on flesh as we look at that little piece of bread. In the same way, he's given us this cup that here at East Valley is just filled with a little bit of grape juice. But what it reminds us of is incredibly significant, that the Son of God was willing to pay a violent death for you and I, to suffer on that cross, that he bled, and it's through his blood and ultimately his death, his burial and his resurrection, that we are even able to have a relationship with God. It's through faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for us that we can be made right with God again. You see, our sin has separated us from God. But our God cares about us enough, and he wants to bring glory to himself as a merciful, gracious God that he is. And so he intervened and he sent Christ. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, if you have looked to him and him only to be saved and to be rescued from your sins, if you've recognized you're a sinner in need of grace from God, and see Jesus as the one who stepped in and took your place, paying the penalty for your sins. By the grace of God, have turned from sin, trusted in Christ, knowing that he was buried and rose again. You belong to him. You're a child of his. And this for you, or this ordinance, is for you to remember that and to remember him. You could probably, along with me, fill out a list of things that happened this week that have preoccupied your mind and would keep you from focusing on and remembering what Jesus has done for you. Let's set all of those things aside right now. And if you belong to him and are a child of his, you're welcome to celebrate this with us this morning and take this. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you know him, or you're sure that you don't, I want to say that I'm glad that you're here. And want to just say that you can think of this as kind of being a family thing, where those who belong to the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ celebrate this together. And there may be a day in the future where that's true of you and you celebrate this with us. But if it's not today, don't take this just to because you're concerned what it might look like if you say no or pass it on today. Don't worry about what others think, about what God thinks. And I would just say this, you can know him today if you don't. By trusting in him alone, confessing your sin, saying, God, I've sinned, I have fallen short, and I'm in need of grace. I receive the gift that you've given in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again to pay for my sins. And you've said that if I would trust in him and in him alone, that I can have a relationship with you. That's what knowing Jesus is ultimately all about. Maybe you've done that this morning. You could have done that just now. If that's true of you, we want to invite you to take this morning. Just a moment, I'm going to ask our team to distribute the bread, but our worship team is going to lead us in a song. And I want to just say this, that we don't always sing during this time. Sometimes we will, sometimes we won't. You're welcome to pray right now. You're welcome to listen. You're welcome to sing. But let's allow our minds to be focused on Jesus and remembering him.